land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warrior and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel in the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, as he is named, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jonathan. When do you take that to contest?
February 8th.
It is the Ohio Music Education Association's season of craziness, when all the students who sing or play instruments or in choral groups and what have you get to go and perform and be judged on their performance, which is really kind of scary having done that. Look at you two coming up. They're getting good. And by the way, before I end that point, our own Kathy Hickson has been accompanying many of the students, and she's doing that even though she's really sick. So thank you, Kathy, for supporting the youth. Come on, young people. Anybody who's under the age of 57 can come forward. So, you know, I'll see if I can still do it. There's no line. I used to fly fish. Do you know about fishing? Yeah? Have you ever fished? Gone fishing? Yeah? Where do you fish? Yeah? Okay. Have you ladies ever fished? No? Well, what do you try to do when you're fishing? Get fish. And you catch them, and then you reel them in, and once you get them really close, you take your net, and you bring them in, right? Well, once upon a time, here, would you like to hold my net, somebody? Hold the net. Yeah, there you go, brother. Once upon a time, there were several men down by a big lake, and they were fishing. They were fishing. And along came another man, and he was sort of fishing, but not for fish. And he came up and he said, "Follow me." So they all stood up, just like you will. Stand up. And come on, girls, let's stand up. We're going to follow the leader, and you're the leader. Show us how to follow the leader. Follow her. We're going to follow the leader. Are you going to do anything silly and crazy like they do? Aw, okay. So walk around the circle, everybody. And go back to your seats. I like doing crazy, wild things. Follow the leader. Follow me, he said. And they did. They actually put their fishing lines away, and they followed him. My goodness, they went with him and they walked with him for 3 years. They followed him. And then after he left, they continued to follow him and they shared what they learned from him. Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know? I'm talking about Jesus. They followed Jesus. They were the very first men to follow Jesus. And they were fishermen. And you know what he said to them the very first day? "Follow me. I will teach you to fish for people." Fish for people. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Can you catch a person in a net like that? How do you bring a person and get them to listen to you? You treat them nice, don't you? You call them friend and you respect them. And you show them Jesus' love, right? Yeah. So that's what we do now. We follow Jesus and we catch people too. And it all started out because men were fishing by a lake. Pretty cool story. Yeah? Shall we share a prayer together? Let's say a prayer. Put our hands together. Close our eyes. Thank you. Dear God, thank you for teaching us to follow Jesus and to fish for people. We love you, God. Amen. You may go back to your seats now. How'd I have that there? Okay. before we launch into today's gospel reading, which you already have a sense of, we probably need to get our bearings a bit about where we are in Scripture. The last time we heard from Matthew, which was a couple weeks ago, Jesus had grown up in Nazareth and had come to the river Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John. And remember, the heavens opened above him, and everyone heard a voice saying, "This is my son whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." And of course, we all know what happened next. Jesus was led into the wilderness, where he stayed for a very long time without much to eat or drink, and where the devil tempted him to turn away from the God who said, "You are my son." So here we are, wherever that is. Matthew doesn't really tell us if Jesus is still in the desert where this story picks up. But what we do know is that Jesus has not turned from God. He's accepted his life as God's son and has weathered the first storm he will face. And after that trial came to an end, he was strengthened by the care of angels. And that's where our story brings us today, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 and going through verse 23. And yes, just as Herb did, I am reading from the Common English Bible. And by the way, Herb, thank you so much for joining us today. This is your first time to serve as lector, and I am grateful. Now, when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, which lies alongside the sea in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah had said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, alongside the sea, across the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who lived in the dark have seen a great light, and a light has come upon those who lived in the region and in shadow of death." From that time, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and live. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." Now, as Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, John, the man who had prepared the way of the Lord by preaching and baptizing, and had prepared the Lord himself for his mission on this earth, has been arrested. His ministry has been suspended, and he has been detained by the powers that be. Hearing that news must have felt odd to Jesus. Not that he and John were best friends, but in a land and a time where family relationships meant the world, these two were cousins. And through the baptismal waters, John had helped Jesus be ready for the life to come. Yes, the lives of these two men were intertwined for all of time. Excuse me. Now, greeted by such shocking news, most of us would probably go home, surround ourselves with family and friends, mourn, and await the inevitable. And yet, Jesus doesn't follow the pattern of ordinary folks. Instead, he goes back to Nazareth, packs up his belongings, and moves 20 miles away to Capernaum. He moves away from home to set up a new home. Nowadays, we think that if someone is to get a good start in adult life, she or he needs to leave home. But such was not the case in those days. Remember, family is everything. So it's easy to overlook this note from Matthew. And this tiny detail helps to tell us something important about Jesus. I said helps. Here's another part. Remember the words from Isaiah that Dr. Hicks read this morning. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. These cryptic words also help us to understand the importance of Jesus' move to Capernaum. You see, by being related to John and by being baptized by him, the Romans would no doubt have marked Jesus as another revolutionary. I've been watching an old series called The Murdoch Mysteries lately. Somebody knows about it. It's fun. But in one of the shows, a man is accused of being an Irish revolutionary. This takes place back in the late 1800s, by the way. And he was accused of being an Irish revolutionary because his sister, who was murdered, wore an emblem often seen on Irish rebels. And you know how it goes. True or false, the man was guilty by association. It would have been the same for Jesus. He had to move on. Not only that, Jesus knew it was time for his ministry to begin. God had called him and prepared him to serve God's purposes. He was ready. And he knew his freedom might soon be curtailed if he remained in his hometown. So Jesus made the bold decision to begin life in a different part, a safer yet darker part of the country. The part where Isaiah had spoken of centuries before. Now, Capernaum is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee, kind of the northwest. And it's an area that for hundreds of years had been fought over by foreign armies. Given all the battles, people thought of it as a desperate and dismal place, especially the area another 20 miles or so away from the lake that had become its capital, Megiddo. Armageddon. You know, that Armageddon. So it was a pretty hopeless place. And the people there were said to walk in darkness. And yet, many Jews and Gentiles had settled there. No wonder Isaiah had called the region the Galilee of the Gentiles. This would have been a place where, from Matthew's point of view, people could best see the light of a new dawn. where the light of the Son of God could shine upon them all. And so Jesus moved to Capernaum. It was time to fulfill Scripture's prophecy, to shine God's light for all to see. Now back then, unlike tiny Nazareth, the town was a bustling burg, complete with a Roman road on the outskirts of town. Made sure that people stopped off for the night, you know? It was just the right place in which to fulfill Isaiah's vision of the Messiah. And it was a perfect place for him to begin calling folks to turn back to God and teach them about God's hope for them. So, Jesus is ready. The stage for his ministry is set, and all that's now needed are actors. He can now move about to find those who would be ready, able, and willing to walk alongside him, learn from him, and serve God with him, so that God's purpose could be fulfilled, not just through one man, but through many. So Jesus takes a walk down by the lakeshore, and soon he meets up with Simon and Andrew. You know, I've always wondered if the three of them hadn't met already. Maybe the brothers had helped Jesus unpack his belongings in his new house. You know, small town. Anyway, we don't know what else they talked about, other than their new job was to fish for people. What kind of job description is that, anyway? Fish for people. Yet they dropped their nets and followed along. And the same is true for James and John. They immediately left their nets and their father Zebedee to walk beside the newcomer to town. Like Jesus, all four men gave up their families and their tried and true lives for something entirely unexpected and unknown. What is that about? Jesus said, "Change your hearts and lives. The kingdom of heaven is near." That's what he said to them, and probably to many, many other people as well. The kingdom of heaven is near. Being willing to move away from home, to let go of life as you know it, and start over? That's a change best left to 20-somethings. Heavens, we may not be doing everything we had hoped in our lives. Maybe our fishing nets have holes in them, and we aren't catching enough to feed our families, but we've got something here. Go somewhere different. Try a new career path. Change the way we've lived in our hometowns for however many years. That's a huge risk. But the kingdom of heaven is near. And like Capernaum, this town called Zanesville is a perfect place to start something different. We live along a major highway, but not in the craziness of Columbus or Cleveland. And there are all kinds of people here. We're something of a Galilee of the Gentiles in this area. We even have a lake right here in town. And while we may all hail from varying backgrounds or have differing points of view on the issues of the day, like us, most of these people find they walk through dark valleys from time to time. Yet we here have heard Jesus' call and have walked in his light a good long way. We've learned of God's hope for all people. We've seen his word heal broken hearts and mend broken lives. And like Simon and Andrew and James and John, each of us has been given a set of skills and talents, some of which are tired out. And some we've never tried out. So after his baptism, Jesus left Nazareth and began ministry elsewhere. And in Capernaum, he invited all he met to turn their hearts to God, for the kingdom of heaven is nearby. And then he called his first disciples to walk in his light, excuse me, so that God's hope-filled promise might be fulfilled through not just one man, but through many people. And while none of them knew what lay ahead, they responded to his call. They discovered what it was to fish for people in that time and in that place, that Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, I do not believe that Jesus called just those four, or even just those 12 disciples. I believe he is still calling disciples to his side every day. And he calls them not just on the first day he sees them, but every day thereafter. It's a new call each and every day for all of us. But he calls all of us to walk in his light of hope and use the gifts we have now to serve God's purpose. So I wonder, how is the Lord of light and of life calling you as his disciple on this day in this place? Amen. Let us sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's an old one that we know.
those who are able, please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith from a brief statement of faith. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation, yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal son, God is faithful still. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, you know how to give good gifts to your children, and so you do. Bless the portion of those gifts that will be returned to you, that they might be dedicated to your glory and used in the upbuilding of your kingdom, and that they might come from grateful and loving hearts. In the name of Jesus, who gave everything, amen.
We have come to the time when we pray together and when we can share our joys and concerns with one another. What would you have? Well, my friends, Jesus said, "Follow me." And they dropped their nets and immediately followed him. They weren't using their tried and true skills anymore. They were forced to find new skills they had never tried out. And in the same way, Jesus is calling us to look at who we are in God's love and how we might be sharing that love, perhaps with new skills that we have never tried. Things we don't even know we have. So go home this week to think about that. What can you offer the world around you in Christ's love at this place, in this time of your lives? And then go out and serve the Lord with gladness, knowing that the love of God, the grace that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that surrounds us with the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always, forevermore. Amen and amen.